Hello and welcome to Over the Edge Episode 3. My name is Luke Erickson, your host of the Over the Edge podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I would just like to wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving. It's Wednesday here, I'm recording this, and I got a big feast tomorrow with all my family. I'm back in Minnesota. And whether or not you're with family or out and about, I hope everyone is having a really great day. I personally have a lot to be thankful for, this podcast now being one of them, and I just want to thank all you guys for listening now. And without further ado, let's get into today's topic. We are talking about the Democratic race, as well as just 2020 in general. We'll be discussing the Democratic candidates as well as their policies and history, and we will hopefully hear from both people that are going to be choosing one of these candidates, as well as some Trump supporters, and see how these people feel about the candidates, as well as what they believe the most important issues are coming into 2020. As always, all articles and or facts that I will be talking about in this podcast can be found in the description of this episode. And yeah, let's get right into it. Okay, welcome to the first segment of this episode of Over the Edge. Before we get into the interviews like we usually do, I'm going to give a little background on most of the candidates that are running. I'm going to be really in detail with like the top three or four, and I'll kind of get a little more vague as we go down, just because I think this is the most important part of this episode in particular, is for you guys to be able to understand what all these people stand for and what they're running on, so that you can make an informed opinion come election time, or decide that you don't like what these people are running for and vote for, you know, a different candidate. So we're going to start off with front and center, Joe Biden. Believe he's pulling at like 32% right now. This is my favorite fact about him. Sorry, I have to give a little history. He's from Scranton, Pennsylvania. If you're not aware why that's significant, that's where the office took place. I think that's really funny. Obviously, former vice president under the Obama administration, and was also the youngest ever elected senator, which I didn't know and I thought was interesting. So let's hop into the policies, okay? Going to start with the economy. One of the big ones he has is minimum wage should be moved to $15 an hour, universally, federal minimum wage. Going into education, he's not on the bus with a few of the other candidates on free college, but he does believe in that the first 2 years of college should be free, and that as far as student debt goes, we should expand and fix the debt relief programs that we have currently. As far as energy and climate goes, I know he's talked a lot about working with other nations on issues of climate change, as well as he is supportive of new nuclear power development and ending new oil leases on federal land and also ending offshore drilling. As far as gun control goes, onto our next policy, I know this is a big one for a lot of people that are looking kind of away from the Democratic policy. And I think Biden is maybe one of the most moderate. And he is just for a voluntary buyback of assault weapons. And from what you'll hear in the other, in some of the interviews, is that is just an optional for people if they would like to sell their assault weapons to the government for, and they would get paid for that. On to healthcare, another important issue, and also the theme of our podcast next week. We'll dive more into it, but he is just for building on the Affordable Care Act, which was formerly known as Obamacare. Slight changes there, but it's basically Obamacare. And he just wants to build on that, not for universal health care. Cannabis, one of the only candidates, I believe, if not the only, that is not for legalizing it, but just for decriminalization of cannabis. And then on to the last kind of policy section that I have, which is the military. He was actually in favor of boosting the defense budget as well as keeping the troops deployed. Tax policies, I say, were pretty non-substantial, as well as trade policies. On to our next candidate and second highest polling, is Elizabeth Warren. History is a senator from Massachusetts since 2013. Her policies on the economy are the same, similar to Biden's, raising the minimum wage to $15. Education-wise, this is where it starts to differ. Free college, just period, as well as canceling some of the debt that already exists out there. So not necessarily expanding relief programs, but just getting rid of the debt. Election-wise, she's for getting rid of the Electoral College as well, which was an episode before. If you haven't heard that and don't know how you stand on that, I would encourage you to go listen to that. Energy, climate-wise, also a climate change supporter, as far as I know, and a more, I guess, aggressive issue is that she wants to ban fracking everywhere in the U.S. and offshore as well. Gun control, another more liberal policy, you could say, or however you want to state it, is for the ban of assault weapons. So not necessarily a buyback, but just a straight out make it illegal to own an assault weapon. And also Medicare for all. So this is getting rid of private insurance in America and replacing it with a universal program. And then as far as cannabis, legalize it. Like I said, I believe Biden is the only one who is just for decriminalizing it. And for the military, cut spending and bring troops home from post 9/11 conflicts. And then the last candidate we'll go really in depth with is Bernie Sanders, obviously another main running competitor. History is Senator of Vermont since 2007. Not a lot of issues that I found on the economy, but for college or education, I should say, is definitely where he is most known for and was where he was most famous for in the 2016 election, why he gained a lot of traction. Free college and canceling all student debt. So all the student debt that exists, and I'm not sure if that applies to people that will then be coming out if they somehow get debt. I guess not if there's free college. All debt is just gone away with. Election-wise, also for getting rid of the Electoral College. And another issue that was unique to him was that he believes that felons should be able to vote while they are incarcerated. So while a felon is in prison, let's say a murderer, or I don't know a lot of felony charges, but that's an extreme one. A murderer will be able to vote while they are incarcerated. On climate and energy, he is for closing nuclear power, and also the same as Elizabeth Warren, with banning fracking everywhere. Gun control, more moderate. Same with Joe Biden, a voluntary buyback of assault weapons. Healthcare, Medicare for all. Same with Elizabeth Warren, getting rid of private health insurance and replacing it with a universal program. Legalizing cannabis, and then military, cutting spending, and bringing troops home. Pete Buttigieg, he's definitely maybe higher on the list as the kind of running mates, maybe possible vice president candidates. But as of right now, is not in the main contention for the Democratic nominee. He's a mayor of South Bend, Indiana, which I think is pretty unique, not a senator or a government or a representative, but a mayor from Indiana. Education-wise, he believes he has a more unique one, not necessarily two-year free college or free college, but just a no debt after college. So that just makes sure that college will always be affordable, not necessarily free for everyone, but that you won't have to graduate with debt. Climate, energy-wise, supports nuclear power, as well as ending new oil leases on federal land and offshore drilling, just like Biden does. Everything else was pretty non-substantial. He was a vet, I believe, and he was for boosting the defense budget and bringing troops home. On to our next one, our senator from California, Kamala Harris. I hope I'm saying that right. I believe I'm saying that right. Same as Buttigieg, debt-free college. Ban assault weapons as far as gun control goes. One thing I personally, this is my personal opinion, not a fan of her. She doesn't really have a vision on healthcare. And yeah, on to our next one. Senator from Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar. Same with Biden, 2 years of free college. Supports nuclear power, ban on assault weapons. And is with the only other candidate that is with Biden on building on the Affordable Care Act instead of Medicare for all. A quick side note, I don't know if you guys have heard in the election, or not in the election, but just in the news in general, Michael Bloomberg will be entering the Democratic race. He will not be in the, as of right now at least, will not be in the next Democratic debate. But you will be able to find out about him on his website. If you Google him, you should find it. Just a little background. He is a billionaire mayor of New York. Bloomberg is a Democrat turned Republican turned independent turned Democrat again. And from what I've heard, he's got some pretty solid policies. I wasn't able to do a lot of research on this just because he doesn't have a lot of info out there as of right now. But I would encourage all of you to keep up to date with what he's doing, because I think he could be a really interesting possible candidate. And then the last two, kind of more borderline, pulling around like 5 to 1%. Our first one is Andrew Yang, definitely an outsider, more like Trump was coming into the 2016 election, a businessman with a very, very unique look on the economy, which is the universal basic income. And what that is with his proposed value-added tax, he would support a universal basic income for every American over the age of 18, where you would get $1,000 a month, so $12,000 a year, no questions asked. This is, in his opinion, to account for automation issues that will arise in the future as well as are already arising now. I personally think it's really interesting. I don't know how practical it is, but I think it is definitely a more progressive policy and a more policy that is, what's the word for it, I guess? It's future. It's a new idea, and it's not trying to build on something that's old. I don't know the best word for that, but I think he's a very interesting candidate. Not a lot of other very substantial things about him besides that, but I think that's a very interesting idea. And then our last one, and this is a lot of people that I've heard from is very popular, is Tulsi Gabbard. Gabbard, I hope I'm saying that right again. Veteran and also a governor from Hawaii. Not necessarily a lot of very out there policies, but as far on the debate stage, I think she's had some very strong performances personally. Is for free college, and although being a veteran, is for ban of assault weapons, as well as legalizing cannabis, and doesn't really have a policy as far as healthcare goes. I really hope you guys listen and enjoy to this section. And now we'll move on to the interviews. Hello, and welcome back to Over the Edge. I have with me today our first guest, Warner Stewart, a good friend of mine from back home. Warner, we're talking about the 2020 debates as well as the 2020 election in general. Who is your favorite candidate going into 2020, and what do you believe the most important issue is?
Hey, Luke. My favorite candidate, I got to go with Trump. I mean, he runs the country like a business, so I will be voting for him this year.
Mm-hmm.
My issue, I think, that I like personally is education and free tuition, that whole debate thing that's going on.
Yeah. So are you in favor of the free tuition?
No, I am not. Personally, I am not.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like free tuition... schools won't make money, the professors won't make money, and when you're paying for a school, say someone that's going to like a D1 school, like if you're going to like Madison or the U of M, I mean those high-end schools,
yeah,
that cost a lot of money, the tuition is expensive.
Oh yeah.
I feel like if you're paying for that, not your parents, if you're paying yourself for that, that kind of gives you that backbone and motivation to say, you know, I'm paying for this myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to waste it. I'm not going to throw this away.
Yeah, to have some skin in the game. Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
right. And with free tuition, I feel like some kids may just throw that away, and if they get accepted to a school, then they're going to say, you know, oh, I'm here for free. You know, I can do whatever I want. I don't have to do good.
Yeah.
If there is free tuition, I mean, free tuition would maybe a good thing for some people. I mean, like they have scholarships already,
yeah,
but you have to work for those scholarships. I mean, academic and sports scholarships.
For sure.
If there was free tuition, I feel like there would have to be like rules set, you know, like you have to maintain a certain GPA.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Like attendance.
Yeah.
These rules put in place so these kids can't just go and do whatever they want and just say, oh, I'm here for free, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, no, that's really, and I think that's nothing that I've heard in, like, some of the debates over that, and I think that's a really good point, is that, like, what is the social impacts of having free college? Are kids just, like, not going to care, you know, or, you know, be carefree, or be like, oh, I don't need to rush into college, or, you know, what are the social effects of it? And I feel like that's something that's kind of avoided right now.
Yeah, yeah, it'll give kids, you know, paying for your own college. I mean, if you're going to pay a lot of money, then you're going to want to do good in school. I mean, that's just how it would be. That's how I would be. I mean, so.
And then the last thing I'll ask you kind of about education is some people, like, or I don't know if you've heard, Bernie Sanders believes that we should get rid of all student debt. Some other candidates believe in getting rid of some student debt. And then the rest of the candidates are for more just expanding programs to fix debt and make it easier to, you know, get out of it. How do you feel about student debt in particular?
Student debt, yeah, that your last point was good. I mean, if there is a way where someone could come up with a thought or a plan on how to make it easier for these kids to pay back their student debt and their student loans,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, the government will give you like a $200,000 business loan,
mm-hmm.
but they'll only give you, no, I was wrong. It's the other way around. So schools will give you $200,000 for college, but they won't only give you $25,000 for a business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I feel like you're going to obviously be making more money with the business.
Yeah.
So, if there is a way for these kids to, I mean, especially everyone's not guaranteed a job out of college. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, certain things you are, but mm-hmm. not everyone is guaranteed the job that you went to school for.
Yeah.
And if you're not guaranteed that job where you'll be making good money for the schooling that you went through, and the money you paid for that much schooling, if you're not going to get a job that makes good money, then you're going to have a hard time paying off that student debt.
Yeah, for sure. So you think having programs to maybe help people get out versus just paying it off for them is a better plan. Yeah.
Yeah, like maybe taking some off depending on the job that you get or the career path that you choose.
Yeah.
Taking an amount off or a percent off of that would be perfect.
Great. Well, Warner, it was really nice talking to you. Good catching up as well. Hope to talk to you again soon, and thanks for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, no problem. It's good talking to you.
Welcome back to Over the Edge. We've got our second guest with us today, Alicia. Alicia, we're talking about the 2020 election as well as the 2020 Democratic debate. Who's your favorite candidate right now, and what do you believe the most important issue is going into 2020?
Yeah, so obviously a really crowded field for the Democrats in 2020, but it seems like most of them have, in general, the same stances. I would say my favorite personality, at least, is Tulsi Gabbard.
Okay.
I think she is different. I think she's not afraid to kind of go against party thoughts, if it's something she truly believes in, which I appreciate because I just think it shows some individualism. Obviously, she's not going to be president or VP most likely,
mm-hmm.
But I definitely want to keep my eye on her in the future. I still disagree with a lot of her stances, but I appreciate her personality, and she does seem like someone who would try to be more unifying,
mm-hmm.
And who is less about attacking voters of, I guess, what you would call the other side, the more center right wing voters and independent people, who I think sometimes kind of suffer in some of these debates. It seems like a lot of the candidates are aiming for the really far left leaning voters.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So, so Tulsi's my favorite. As far as actual chances to win the nomination,
mm-hmm.
I think Biden probably still has it. I think he's honestly the only person in the race right now who can win those moderate left and center voters.
Yeah.
And I think that the DNC will probably be smart enough to realize that,
mm-hmm.
You know, especially in states like Iowa or Ohio or some of those more, you know, kind of traditional, somewhat Democrat, somewhat Republican states, the swing states. I think you need someone a little bit more like Biden.
Yeah.
And a little bit less like, you know, maybe Sanders or something like that.
Yeah.
I think for VP, I was talking with a couple people the other day, and we were talking about how Cory Booker could be a good VP because he's pretty strong on the issues.
Interesting,
he's generally well-liked, but also I don't think he is a big enough personality to be president yet. And so I would say he'd actually be a pretty strong VP. Kamala Harris, I used to think she could be a good VP, but honestly, I think at this point, her battles with Tulsi Gabbard and just kind of her dropping poll numbers seem to indicate she's losing a lot of popularity. And I think she's a little too authoritarian. I think it'd scare away some center voters. So anyway, I guess those are my thoughts on that. As far as the issues going into it, it's really interesting because the issues that voters care about are somewhat similar. Mm-hmm. But also, I would say the leading one for the Democrats is probably climate change and healthcare, I would say.
I think you hit that on the nose.
And then I would say Republicans, it's probably more, I don't know, I suppose immigration would be up there. Let's see. I guess, you know, and both parties have different ideas on how to address all these things. So, of course, they all care about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the leading issues are different. And so I will say, I think that Donald Trump, as of now, with just what I see, I would predict he would win this election. But I think that could change if the economy tanks. And then also, right before I came on here, I texted someone and I was like, hey, any hot takes on the election? And what he said was, if Michelle Obama stepped into the race versus Trump, he sees Michelle Obama taking it. And pollsters, I thought I saw an article that said Michelle Obama would be polling higher than any of the current Democratic candidates.
Yeah, really?
So I think she's kind of a sleeper pick if she does enter the race, because she's pretty well-respected. And she, you know, just kind of appears to be a friendlier face, I think, for a lot of moderate Democrats than maybe some of, you know, the more extremists like Sanders and AOC are. So, I guess that's kind of my opinion.
Yeah. Speaking of incoming candidates, you mentioned like maybe Michelle Obama. Probably not. But I mean, yeah, I get the point there. She would be polling pretty high. What have you heard? Like Michael Bloomberg is a person who's entered the race.
Yeah. I saw he came in and Sanders immediately attacked him for his campaign spending, which I think is a little ridiculous because I think everybody knows you have to have a lot of money to campaign.
Oh, yeah. And when you're worth $54 billion, I think attacking someone for a $30 million ad campaign is kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's, you know, when you own three homes and, you know, your book was a bestseller and you're a millionaire. Well, a millionaire. I think he used to want to tax all millionaires and billionaires. Then he became a millionaire, and I think it was a little bit more along the lines of tax the billionaires.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as you stop at the 999
million, exactly.
You're good, right? Exactly. I think that was a Babylon B article or something. So,
Gotcha. Well, very cool. Alicia, I appreciate you coming on. Really nice talking to you. And, any closing thoughts, anything you want to say?
I would just say that I think the most interesting part of the election in 2020 is really going to be the young voters, because I know in 2016, not a ton of them came out to vote.
Yeah.
But I really think with how polarizing it's been for the last 3 years, I think a lot of college students are starting to care. And I think a lot of them, a lot more of them seem to be leaning towards the whole anybody but Donald Trump type mantra. And so I think, you know, the average college junior who maybe in the past wouldn't really have cared about politics, it now actually might be trendy to be involved in politics and or to vote. And so it'll be interesting to see, because people usually obviously lean more left when they're younger, just statistically, because, you know, of various factors. And, you know, people always joke around that you can kind of become a conservative when you have to start paying taxes. but anyway, so I think it'll be really interesting to see how the young voters have an impact. And I think no matter where you're at, I think everybody should get up and vote, because it's your right. And people have died for that. And we're blessed to be able to have a say. And
indeed.
So I'm pretty psyched.
All right. Well, great. Thanks again for coming on, and have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, thank
Happy
you.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yes, you too. You too.
Welcome back to Over the Edge. We've got with us our third guest today, my friend Caleb from the University of Utah. Caleb, we're talking about the Democratic debate as well as just the presidential debates that are going to be going into 2020. Who's your favorite candidate going into 2020 right now, and what do you believe the most important issues are?
Well, on first glance, obviously you want to like support your background, and my background is heavily conservative. I grew up hunting. I own guns. Like, my whole family owns guns. We're a very, very conservative family.
Yeah.
However, being a college student, I see the benefits that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are offering with their policies regarding college debt. And that's very interesting to me because, well, me being a college student, like, that benefits me greatly. And I don't think the conservatives go about that the right way, in all honesty, not the right way that would be most effective.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think that's really interesting that you've kind of able to see both sides. And that's definitely a huge point of this podcast, is for people to be able to see the pros and cons of both parties. So I appreciate you saying that. So would you say Trump then, even though you kind of like those, is Trump still your favorite, or do you have a favorite Democratic candidate, I guess?
Personally, from, and I don't know how much is like construed to look like skeptical, but I can't side with Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's all the memes or whatever, but like, it just doesn't sit right with me.
No, and that's
fair. I'm not going to say Trump is a good guy, but I do think that he has the best interest for the general American in mind.
Yeah.
Which is important because obviously no one's going to have a perfect candidate. And if they do, then they need to closer analyze that candidate.
Yeah.
There's just no such thing.
That, or they should be in the White House already. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think it's important to know who you're voting for, what their like ideas are, and then you have to keep them like, you have to hold them to it. Otherwise,
yeah,
like, what's the point of being a politician?
Yeah, no, totally. So, and if you're someone who is, so let's say you're a Trump supporter and you think that Republicans are going about education the wrong way, you know, do something about it. Campaign, write them. I mean, obviously the letters don't all get answered, but like, you know, try to get your voice out there that you are maybe more conservative, but you think that some of these more liberal education policies are good and helpful.
Absolutely.
All right, well, Caleb, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Is there anything you want to say before we wrap this up?
No, I just want to say I love what you do, Luke. Seriously,
oh, I appreciate it, dude. Appreciate it. It means a lot. Means a lot, honestly. I'm doing my best out here. Doing my best.
Doing damn good, too. Seriously.
Right. Appreciate it, man. All right, well, Caleb, nice talking to you and catching up. I'm looking forward to seeing you again once I get back out to Utah.
You're sure?
All right. Bye-bye. Hello, and welcome back to Over the Edge. We have with us today our fourth guest, my friend Aaliyah. Aaliyah, we're talking about the 2020 presidential debates as well as the election that's going to be coming in 2020. Who is your favorite candidate right now, and what do you believe the most important policy is going into 2020?
My favorite candidate is definitely Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is time we have a female president.
Yep.
And definitely, I think the issue I'm most passionate about,
mm-hmm,
going forward is climate change, for sure, especially since our current president doesn't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, okay, how to combat gerrymandering.
Okay.
And how that,
yeah,
affects the election process.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, yeah, those are the two most important issues.
Would you be willing to expand a little, like, or what you like about Warren on, like, either of those issues, I guess? Or, like, what you like about Warren in general?
Okay, so what I like about her is she's definitely, in my opinion, more moderate than Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I would agree, yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot of the candidates are like pitting against each other,
yeah,
which causes confusion in the Democratic Party and partisanship, which is not good because, well, it's not good for the Democratic Party, especially if they want Trump to not win in 2020.
Yeah,
so,
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So yeah, I think like compared to the other candidates, her policies are good, and I think she would do a lot for the United States.
So are you a fan of the or two, just two of her policies, I'm saying? Free college, and then the, let's see, what else do we have here? Medicare for all here. I'll throw in a few more. And then legalizing cannabis and banning assault weapons. There's just four in like kind of widely different categories.
Yeah, I think those are all great, especially free college for all.
Mm-hmm.
The FAFSA, I think, doesn't provide enough for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, not everyone, but for some people, definitely. And I know a lot of people who have had to turn down their first choice if they get accepted because they haven't been able to pay for it.
Yeah. No, it's definitely an issue, for sure.
Yeah.
And then Medicare for all, do you think getting rid of private health insurance is, like, all right if we're providing it for everyone, I guess?
Yeah, I believe everyone should have the right to free health care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think that's a great thing across the board.
Yeah, but it also gets rid of, from my understanding, gets rid of then private health insurance.
Yeah, so...
So teachers and stuff who have benefits of really good health insurance get that taken away.
Yeah, that's like obviously something that would conflict with that. But then people who don't have it at all,
yeah,
have at least some access to it. So I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of the more difficult issues. That's actually what the next podcast will be on is on healthcare, because I feel like it's something that kids our age especially don't pay attention mm-hmm. to when it comes to like the Democratic races, and or just don't really understand how it affects them. And it was something I was really interested to learn about. So no, that's what the next episode will be on. But Aaliyah, I really appreciate you coming on and giving your opinion on this topic, and hope to have you on again some other time.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Well, have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, you too. All right.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Over the Edge, where we cover the 2020 election and candidates. If you guys enjoyed this episode, I would really appreciate it if you shared it with your friends and family. I think this episode in particular is really important for people to hear and to learn about. A quick disclaimer, I am in Minnesota for the holidays, so the setup for the podcast is not perfect. If there are any audio imperfections, I do apologize and promise that they will be fixed come next week. But overall, guys, I thought the podcast went great. I really hope you enjoyed the introduction where we covered all the different candidates and their policies. I hope you're able to take away a little as to what options are out there for you. And as to the four fantastic interviews we had, we covered a very wide range of political viewpoints, which wasn't planned, but ended up being how it was. And I think that's important. And it's the main point behind this podcast is obviously to seek to understand. So you're not going to agree with what everybody said in this podcast, but I hope you're able to at least understand where they're coming from and maybe take a little bit away from that. So if you're listening to this on the day it comes out on Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great day. And if not, have a good rest of your day. And as always, go Utes.
Oh, thank you.